Right, if we can turn in our Bibles now to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 5. We can look there this morning, Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and I'll read for us the first 16 verses this morning. So Romans chapter 5, and the verses 1 through 16. And we'll pray, and we'll have a look at God's word together after that. So Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offence, so also is the free gift. For if through the offence of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offences unto justification. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you. We bless you for the opportunity to firstly sing your praises and to be reminded of the wonderful truths about our Lord Jesus coming and his death on the cross for our sins and being raised. And then, Lord, the wonderful time when one day he'll be coming back again and in the meantime sitting there in heaven upon the throne. And, Lord, so many wonderful truths we find in your word we're able to sing about. And Lord, we pray this morning as we look into your word together that, Father, you would open our eyes, open our understanding, Lord, so that we would be able to receive that which you'd have for us this morning. Lord, I believe we're here, each of us, by divine appointment, and you have something for every one of us. And may that be apparent to each one of us by the time we leave this morning. And, Lord, that you would speak to us, and we give you thanks in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we live in a troubled world, and I don't think you'd have to be going to university to work that out, right? There's a lot of problems out there in the world today. It's a very troubled world. And you've got people out there, they're always looking for some answers, looking for peace, looking for all sorts of things. Unfortunately, most people look for peace in the wrong place or wrong places. And the Bible's very clear, there's only one place where we can find real peace, and that's not dependent upon our circumstances or anything else. To know true peace, then we need to know the one who gives peace. The Bible talks about the Lord Jesus, one of his names. He is the Prince of Peace. He's the God of peace. And so this morning I want us to be thinking about this business of peace. And the Bible talks about two aspects in particular, two main themes, and then we can develop that a little bit. But the first one is the peace with God. Peace with God, and that's what we read about in this opening verse here. And then we have what's called the peace of, or the peace from God. And there's various aspects to that as well. But first of all, I want to look at this peace with God, because if you don't have peace with God, you'll never have the peace of God, or peace from God. It starts when we make peace with God. And so there in Romans chapter 5 verse 1, again Paul says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. The word peace has this idea, to bind together that which has been separated. And the Bible is very clear that it's sin which separates us from God, or having a relationship with God, because God is a holy God, God is pure, God is light, God is all those things, and so he is not able to have fellowship with those who are living in sin. Why? Because the Bible says that we are actually enemies of God. And there is no peace. You have a look, keep your hand there for a moment, but also go to Isaiah 57. And Isaiah makes it very clear what I think we would all say, yes, I understand that. But Isaiah 57, and notice what Isaiah says as he closes out that chapter in verse 20. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Now, people could say, well, I'm not wicked. Well, it depends on your definition of wicked. We're all sinners. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That makes us, in God's eyes, wicked. We are wicked. We are evil. We are, James says, that we are enemies of God. And so those who are enemies of God, the wicked, God says there's no peace to them. There's no peace for them. Why? Because until we have peace with God, we can never know the peace of God, or the peace from God. And so Paul deals with that in Romans. He says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, how do we get peace with God? Firstly, it comes through faith. It comes through faith, being justified by faith. And that peace with God comes through, as the sign says up there, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Okay, now that's a very absolute statement. It's a very narrow statement in that sense, because the Lord Jesus himself said, straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Right, so the majority of people are out there in the world today wandering around, wondering where they can find peace, if they can ever find it, trying to do something to make life a little bit happier, a little bit better, feel a bit better, all those kind of things, but they will never know peace, true peace, until they know the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus. That comes by faith. But there's some things that people need to understand. You have a look in verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Okay, if we're going to know peace with God, then we have to understand this, that the Lord Jesus, when he came 2,000 years ago and died on the cross, it wasn't because what he'd done. He was sinless, he was perfect. He died on the cross, the Bible tells us, so that he could pay the price for our sins. You see, God says there's a wage or a cost to sin. There's a penalty for sin. He's a righteous, holy God. And God says, but here's what I'll do for these sinners, because all have sinned. He said, here's what I'll do. I will provide the way for their sins to be forgiven and blotted out. If they choose not to accept that way, and there is only one way, then they will one day have to spend eternity paying the price themselves. Right? So when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Notice verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, but peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, the greatest testimony of what true love is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the example for us, the testimony of what true love is all about. We've said it many times, the world today knows nothing about what true love is. They know about loving feelings, they know about emotions, they know all about those things, but they do not know what true love is. True love is what we see on the cross. God showing, commending his love to us, that while we were yet sinners, we were those wicked, we were those ungodly, unrighteous, that God said, here's what I'll do as a loving God. I will provide a way for their sins to be forgiven. And the Lord Jesus came down from heaven, took upon himself the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men, and was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Because God said there has to be a payment, and it has to be a life for a life. And it starts right back in the book of Genesis, and you find it right through to the end of the book of Revelation, that teaching. So the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And so God showed his love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See that verse before, it says what? Scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. Paul says, when you look at it this way, someone out there may be prepared to die for a good person or a right, they may be. But he said, I want to contrast that with God. God commended his love, showed his love, that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us on the cross. He paid the price. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, God had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So we have to come to that place. If we're going to have peace with God, we have to understand that we are sinners, that we're out of God's will, and we'll stay out until we come by faith through believing what happened on the cross, Christ's death, his burial, and then we have to believe the empty tomb on that third morning, that God raised him physically and bodily from the grave. Now, notice what he says, verse 9, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Right, again, the teaching through the scriptures, there must be shedding of blood to pay for the price of our sins, to make atonement, to pay the cost. And so the Lord Jesus shed his blood to do what? To save us from wrath. To save us, you know, this is not popular today to hear, but it's true, to save us from hell. The Bible's very clear that there is a place called hell, and we don't say that joyfully, we don't say that, isn't that wonderful? It's a hideous, hideous thought, but we must face the facts. If we're going to have peace with God, we have to acknowledge that what we'll get is hell if we don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, that he died, was buried, and raised again. If we do, then we are saved from that wrath to come. So, we come back to verse 1 again. Therefore, being justified. And this is a wonderful term. It's a wonderful, wonderful term. Being justified. Justified means that we are now declared righteous. When I trust the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour, God forgives all of my sins, past, present, and future. They're all forgiven. Out at the prison the other night, we were talking about some of these things, and I said to the men this. I said, I want to give you an example of what justification means. I said, let's say, and I held up my Bible, I said, let's say this is your life story from beginning to end. Now, before you trust the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, it's full of all your sins that you've ever committed, ever will. When we trust Christ as our Saviour, we are now justified. That means it's though we had never, ever sinned. And so now, once you trust the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, you can open up that book of your life, and guess what? Every page will be blank. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen. I mean, someone thought that was a pretty good idea. But that's the truth of the matter. We are justified by what we do? No, by faith. That's how we're justified. By God's grace, Paul said to the Ephesians 4, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. And I can open up that book today and I can say this without any pride or anything else, but say if this was my life story and opened up and it was a record of my sins, it would be empty because they're all forgiven. Imagine that. How wonderful is that? Being justified by faith, we have what? We have peace with God. I have peace with God. I'm no longer God's enemy. I'm now part of the family of God. It's a wonderful, wonderful truth. Now, once I have peace with God, then what I can enjoy is the peace of God, or the peace which comes from God. See, there's a two. Initially, I'm at enmity with God. I need to be reconciled. And that's through the blood of the Lord Jesus being shed, his death, burial and resurrection. I'm now reconciled. I'm in right relationship. There's no longer this enmity. But now I can enjoy the peace of God, or the peace that comes from God. And so I want to look at some of those verses that speak about that this morning to encourage us once again. And I trust this morning, first of all, you have peace with God. Because let me tell you, if you don't have peace with God, you're not going to have what we're going to talk about next. It doesn't mean you can't, but we have to have peace with God first before we have peace of God, or the peace from God. Come back to Isaiah again, this time to Isaiah 26. Isaiah chapter 26. And these couple of verses have been a great blessing to me over the years. Isaiah 26. And verse 3 and 4. Notice what he says. Thou wilt keep him in what? Perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Question. Today, are you enjoying perfect peace? You shall have got peace with God. Amen. But are you enjoying perfect peace? Perfect peace. And what does God say? He'll keep him in perfect peace. Notice what it says. Whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. All right. Now, if you don't have perfect peace, if you don't have perfect peace today, it could be you don't have peace with God, but you say, I have got that. Well, my question to you then is, if you don't have perfect peace, are you really trusting God in every area of your life? Every area of your life? Because what does it say? Whose mind is stayed? Because he trusteth in thee. Now his mind is stayed. In other words, where do my thoughts go during the day? Where do my thoughts go at night? Where do my thoughts go? Do they go back to God? When I'm in a situation, is my first thought, Lord, what should I do here? Is my first thought, Lord, how can I deal with this? Lord, please help me, or whatever it is. Is that my first thought? Because what does he say? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And then the exhortation, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. So I just don't feel like I can cope. Well, it's an interesting thing, isn't it? You don't feel like you can cope. Let me tell you something. None of us can without the Lord. None of us can. But if we trust in the Lord, guess what? He has everlasting strength. How wonderful is that? And along with that comes what? Perfect peace. Perfect peace. You ever enjoyed that? Oh my. Perfect peace. It doesn't matter whether the wind is blowing and, Lord, please save us, we're going to sink. Hey, I'm at perfect peace. But what if you sink? I'll be with the Lord. Well, that'll have a bit of a swim for a while, whatever it is. But I'm at perfect peace. Why? Because my mind is stayed on thee. And Lord, I'm trusting you. I don't care what the circumstances are. You say, do you care? I do, of course, in one sense. I like everything to be nice, friendly, warm, good. That's not life in reality, is it? There are periods of that. So irrespective of circumstances, I can have perfect peace. Perfect peace. I don't know about you, but I like that idea. And I've experienced, and I am experiencing it, perfect peace. What do you have to do to get perfect peace? You really don't have to do anything in a sense. You just have to keep your mind on the Lord. Keep trusting him. There's nothing you have to do in that sense. Just keep your mind on the Lord. Keep trusting him. But what if this? Keep trusting him. Because in the Lord is everlasting strength. Keep trusting. Keep your mind set upon him. Let's go to Psalm 119 now, just back to the left a little. Psalm 119. This is a verse that I've often mentioned and memorized and all that sort of thing. It's a wonderful promise. Psalm 119 and verse 165. And notice what this verse says. Great peace of they which love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. Sounds good, doesn't it? Great peace. Great peace. Great peace. Who wants, you don't have to put your hand up, but who wants great peace? Amen. I'm all for that. So how do you get great peace? Well, ask yourself a couple of questions. Great peace of they which love thy law. Great peace of they which love thy law. Could you say this morning, I just love the Word of God. It's just such, I just love reading the Word of God. It's such a blessing. Oh my, at times it's very challenging. At times I feel greatly rebuked, but oh my, I just love the Word. Is that how we approach the Word of God? You see, because if we're not going to approach the Word of God that way, we won't have great peace. We may have a little bit of peace, but we won't have great peace. The great peace of they which love thy law. You know, you could ask yourself some questions about that. How do you know whether you love the law or not? How do you know whether you love God's Word? Okay, question number one. Do you read the Bible every day? Do you read the Bible every day? Don't tell me you love God's Word and then you don't read it every day. That wouldn't make any sense. That'd be like saying, I love my wife, but I only talk to her twice a week. My wife might like that sometimes, but... But that wouldn't be loving, would it? And we wouldn't have a love relationship if we only spoke a couple times a week. Yeah, we might like each other, you know, not too bad. I kind of get on with her, but... No. You know, if we have a love relationship, then we want to talk to each other regularly, amen? We want to be able to fellowship, as it were. And so you say, I don't have great peace. What is your relationship to the Word of God? Do you read it daily? You say, how much should you read? You ask the Lord how much you should read. Read some every day. Read some every day. Because if you're not reading, I believe, this is me, you say, you've got chapter and verse. I'm just telling you, I believe if you're not reading God's Word every day, you won't have great peace. You won't. Now, you'll have some peace. But what'll happen next? See what happens next. Great peace of they which love thy law. One of the things I often do is encourage folks to memorise the scripture. Friday night at the prison, we were going, and we'll get to one of those verses a little bit later on, we looked at. And one of the things I did, I encouraged them, I said, listen you guys, I encourage you to memorise God's word. To memorise it. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And on it goes, great peace of those, and nothing shall offend them. You need God's word hidden in your heart. It's what Psalm 190 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So important to memorise the scriptures. Which ones? Memorise all of them. Take some time to do it. But it takes time. Exactly. But if you love the word of God, then it'll be time well spent, won't it? If you love your wife, you say, oh look, I can only spend 5 minutes a day with you, sorry. Just busy otherwise. I'm sure your wife would go, yeah. Actually, we're doing studies on the family Wednesday night, so you might have to deal with that. But it does take some time, that's correct. It takes some time, but if you love someone, you love something, you'll spend the time. You look how much time people, you know, they spend hours watching sport. Why? Because they love it. That's not love, Bible speaking, but, you know, they lust after those things. But the time is spent there. How much time in comparison do we spend in the Word of God? You see, we find time for all these other things, and then we wonder why we don't have great peace. Well, great peace of they which love thy law. Notice what else it says, and nothing shall offend them. Oh my, what a blessing that is. You find yourself getting all cranky and out of sorts and uptight and all that sort of stuff. Let me suggest you need to have a look at your relationship with the Word of God. Yeah, but they just get me going. Great peace have they which love thy law, nothing shall offend them. Yeah, but great peace of they which love thy law, and nothing. How much will offend them? If nothing. Imagine that. Nothing. Bring it on. That's okay. I have great peace. Where did you get that from? From the Lord. How do you manufacture that? You don't. Do I have to meditate 5 hours a day standing in my head? That won't work. All you do is get dizzy. No. Great peace of they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Keep the balance. That doesn't mean I'm happy with sin or anything like that. But I'm at peace. Whatever the circumstances may or may not be, I'm at peace. Great peace have they which love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. You get easily offended? Better check on your relationship with the Word of God. How much time do you spend in the Word of God? Do you really love it? Do you read it? Or do you try and memorise it? Maybe you need to think about those things. Let's have a look in Philippians chapter 4. Again, wonderful verses, and no doubt some of them have been memorised and all that kind of thing, but it's good to remind ourselves there's no new truth, as it were. There's only the truth. But sometimes we see it from a slightly different perspective, don't we? We can read a verse for many, many times, and then one day we read that verse and we go, wow, look at that. Hadn't seen that before. Maybe that'll be for these this morning. Philippians chapter 4 verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. Notice what it says. And the peace of God, that which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The word there, the peace of God has this a tranquility of mind, and it's based on the consciousness of a right relationship with God. I just have peace of God, which what? Passes all understanding. How do you explain that? You don't. It passes all understanding. It's the peace of God. It's the peace which comes from God. We don't manufacture it, amen? We'd mess it up if we had to do that. This is the peace of God which passes all understanding. You can't explain it. Why is it? And not everybody knows about the Surrett family, but Brother Surrett and his family, they've been missionaries in Mauritius, and Brother Surrett the last year or two has had amazing health issues with cancers and operations and all sorts of things. But guess what? He's at peace in it all. He's at peace. How do you understand that someone with such problems and difficulties and all the stress that comes with that, how could that be? It passes understanding. That's correct. It's the peace of God. It's the peace of God. And you know one thing that's important in all that? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Don't forget the thanksgiving. Don't forget, Brother Surrett, don't forget the thanksgiving. He said, I'm thankful. I'm thankful the Lord's allowed this. Are you enjoying it? Not really. But I'm thankful the Lord's allowed it. I thank the Lord how he's kept me at this point. I thank the Lord for the opportunities that's given me. I thank the Lord for it. And so, are you upset? No, I have the peace of God that passes understanding. How do you explain that when someone's going through such difficulties in life, humanly speaking, and yet they're at peace? The peace of God that passes what? All understanding. Well, he's the Prince of Peace. He's the God of peace. And so we need to be careful or be anxious or be worried for how much? Nothing. For nothing. Yeah, but some things... what does the Bible say? Be careful, be worried, be anxious for how much? Nothing. Yeah, but what about the building? What if we can't find somewhere? What if? God's on the throne, he's able to take care of it, isn't he? He's well able to. I mean, God created everything. God spoke the world and the whole universe into existence and holds it all together by the word of his power. I think he can take care of our little needs. Amen? So why do we worry? Why do we get anxious? Why do we get fearful? Maybe we go back to Isaiah. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Not on the circumstances, but my mind stayed on him. I'm trusting in the Lord. I'm not trusting in myself. I'm not, etc. Well, be worried, be careful, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Well, keep your hearts. We'll keep those feelings under control, those emotions under control. And we all know what it is for our emotions and feelings. They can go all over the place at times, can't they? But God says, if you come to me with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, I'll keep those under control. Your hearts and your minds. Your minds. Whoa, the peace of God. The peace of God. And notice what he goes on to say. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Oh, so it does depend a little bit on how we think, yes. It does. We need to be careful what we allow our minds to dwell upon and think about. Whatsoever things are true. Is that true? If it's not, forget it. Forget it. Is that honest? Not really. Forget it. Is that just? Is that pure? It's not pure. Stop thinking along those lines. Because if you don't guard your thoughts, and that's where the devil attacks us, if you don't guard your thoughts, then you won't have that peace of God that passes all understanding. So you can lose that peace that of God. If you don't discipline your thinking, you can lose that peace of God. See, the peace with God, thank God, you can never lose that. Amen. When I trust Christ as my Savior, I have peace with God, and that is done, finished for eternity. But the peace of God, or peace from God, I can lose that. It may be because I'm not trusting the Lord. It may be because I don't love the Word of God the way I ought to and respond to it. It may be that I'm not thankful the way it ought to be. It may be my thinking's not what it ought to be. I've allowed wrong thoughts to come in and begin to take over. If we've got some known sin in our life, you won't have the peace of God. You won't have it. You think about King David. Have a look in Psalm 32. King David is a very vivid example of someone who didn't have the peace of God. You say, wasn't King David a man after God's own heart? Yes, he was. The Bible declares that to be so. But King David got involved in sin. He committed adultery and murder. And for over 12 months, he didn't confess it. Notice what Psalm 32 says. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Notice what he says next. So he says, when you're forgiven, it's wonderful. But notice what he says when you're not. When I kept silence, in other words, he hadn't confessed his sin. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. You think David was happy and at peace? No way. No way. Why? Because he had unconfessed sin. He had unconfessed sin in his life. And if you're not enjoying the peace of God that passes all understanding, maybe you need to check with the Lord, is there anything in my life that I'm doing I shouldn't be doing? Is there anything in my life that I'm not doing that I should be doing? It may be that. It may be just not thankful. Maybe just not thinking right. Have a look in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And notice verse 15. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. And Paul says this, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. There's that thankfulness again. But in particular, just notice, the peace of God rule in your hearts. The idea, it's like an umpire, it's to preside over the games and distribute the prizes. The peace of God should rule in my heart. When you're looking at making a decision, make sure you have the peace of God in your heart. We spoke about this Friday night at the prison because we went through that whole chapter. I said, make sure it's the peace of God. Make sure it's the peace of God ruling in your heart. Because sometimes we want to do something, and so we decide, well, I'm going to do it, and we feel at peace about it. It's not because it's the peace of God. It's because we're just going to do what we want to do. We're going to do our own thing, and we've made the decision, so at that point we're at peace. No, it's to be the peace of God ruling in my heart. Should I do this? Should I not? Should I go there? Should I not? Should I think this? Should I not? Let the peace of God, because the Bible tells us that which is not of faith is sin. If I can't say, yes, I'm at peace about this, and it's the peace of God. It's not the peace that comes because I get my way or anything else. It's the peace of God ruling in my heart, saying yes, no, wait, whatever. The peace of God ruling in our heart, to which also ye are called, and be ye thankful. So there's some of the aspects of the peace of God, or the peace from God. Peace with God, as we said, you can't lose it. Praise God. And I hope and trust this morning that you have peace with God. Okay? Peace that comes when we come to that place, the Bible speaks of repentance. That means I turn away from my life and my thoughts and my ideas, and I turn to God. And by faith, I say, God, I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me and was buried and raised again that third day physically and bodily. And I acknowledge that I've sinned. I'm not perfect. I acknowledge that. But you said if I would come to you in faith and ask for forgiveness, you'd forgive me. Please forgive me of my sins. You know, the moment we do that, it's done. Peace with God. And he gives us that gift of God, which is eternal life, and we shall never perish. Now from then on, if we'll follow what we've said this morning, we can enjoy that perfect peace. We can enjoy that great peace. We can enjoy that peace of God that passes all understanding. We can enjoy that peace ruling in our hearts and guiding and leading us through our daily walk with the Lord. Ask you this morning again, do you have peace with God? God alone knows that, doesn't he? Because he's the one we go to. We don't go to the pastor or to the church or our wife or husband or anybody else. We come by faith to God, whom we can't see. And that's difficult, isn't it, humanly speaking? We think, well, if I could just see God. No, you can't see God. There's plenty of evidence out there that God's there in creation and many other ways. If we come to God and say, God, yes, I'm a sinner, please forgive me and save me from the penalty of sin, God will do that. Become childlike faith. Not of works. But then you say, well, I have peace with God. Are you enjoying those other aspects this morning? Great peace? Perfect peace? Are we enjoying that peace of God that passes all understanding? Lord knows, doesn't he? And you be honest with God. If that's not your, if you couldn't get up this morning and say, I just want to give testimony. I have peace with God. And not only that, I'm enjoying great peace. I'm enjoying perfect peace. I'm enjoying that peace of God that passes all understanding. Could you give that testimony this morning? If not, let me encourage you as we bow for prayer now, just to talk to the Lord about that. Say, Lord, I don't seem to have great peace. Why is that? Maybe you're not spending enough time in the Word. Well, I don't seem to have that peace of God that passes understanding at the moment. Maybe it's because you're not thankful, maybe. Lord knows. But let's bow and just wait on the Lord for a moment or two, and then I'll pray and we'll close out with a hymn together.